Okay, so today we're going to be doing we're going to be doing Vavam and Aleph. Just need to bring in a couple of things we talked about yesterday to understand the flow. So at the bottom, the Gemara was talking about, we got into the whole discussion of really why there's so many days necessary for the prohibition of engaging in commerce with pagans. So Gemara was looking at different like models. One model was the model of our holidays, like how there's only one day, and that was the more made a distinction between Achila versus Hakrava. Another model they looked at was that we know the Gemara Megillah talks about you have to wait 30 days. So Gemara's like, well, maybe 3 isn't even enough. Maybe actually it should be a prohibition of 30 days or 2 weeks before other holidays, which will kind of make engagement in commerce almost impossible with pagans. Then the Gemara said that the worst answer was, no, that our halachos are much more specific and complex when it comes to our korbanos, whereas for Bnei Noach, they're less complex, they're more simple and more broad. And the example was that the only thing that they have really that's prohibited is that it can't be missing some sort of limb. And that led to a whole conversation of how we know that prohibition. The model that's brought is from Noach, the animals that he brought on the Teva, because they were supposed to be able to be used for korbanos. So the Gemara starts arguing back and forth, well, how do you know that's really a proof? Maybe we need this pasuk for a different concept, which is that a treifa is prohibited even to a ben noach. So then the end of yesterday on Vavun Aleph, about six, seven lines down, that the Gemara makes it's svara. It's no drush from a pasuk. The svara is it couldn't be that Noach would be having be asked to be bringing suboptimal animals onto the table in the first place, arguing from himself. So we're now here. Two, four, so we're seven lines down from the top. Above and out, the last word line is Vahashta. So the Gemara says, Vahashta de nafka lemi itcha. So now that we have, we're telling us that the drasha is, that we're learning out that the prohibition of trefa is from itcha, that it would be with you, as in like you, and that's how we know that Bnei Noach are prohibited to have a trefa. So why did the Torah need to go out of its way to specify l'chayot zera lamali? Why did I have to say l'chayot zera? Because initially, according to the other opinion, back in Hamabed, that was their pasuk they used as a to derive the prohibition of a trefa. So Gemara says, imi itcha, so if it just had mitcha, so hava amina l'tzavta ba'alma. You would have had a hava amina to think that it only needs, this is just a stam command, there's no actual goal at the end of the day. Meaning to say that, as Rashi points out, that it was only, you couldn't have a trefa because we're going to be in the teva for more than 12 months, and the trefa is only going to last 12 months. And therefore, those are the type of animals that are being excluded from that pasuk. However, b'afilu zakim v'afilu saris, but you would think that maybe an animal that's really old, or an animal that does not have reproductive capability, they would be allowed to be brought in, and therefore, the meaning to say that the exclusion would have been much more limited, and therefore, Kasav Rachmana Zera, to teach us a much more expansive notion of the prohibition vis-a-vis Bnei Noach, but also specifically the types of animals that Noach is being brought on the table. Meaning to say, so we're saying here that we need both the pasuk of Itcha and L'chayot Zera to teach us this much more expansive notion of a trefa is not just limited to the animal that can't live, can only live for 12 months, will die afterwards, but also an animal that doesn't have reproductive capability, and also an animal that is very, very, very old. Okay, so the Gemara now says here, Ibar Yalehu, Shloshi Yamim, Hein Vei Dehen, Odilma Hein Beloi Dehen. Going back to our Mishnah, the Mishnah says, Shloshi Yamim, sorry, Vnei Dehem, Shalof Chachamim, Shloshi Yamim, Aser L'Seis L'Teisi Mahem. That before the festivals of the pagans, for 3 days, it's prohibited to engage in commerce. So the Gemara has the following question. Does that number include the day itself, or is it separate? So give a great example. If every Sunday is a holiday, does it mean Friday, Saturday, Sunday are days of prohibited commerce? Or does it mean Thursday, Friday, Saturday, prohibited in commerce, and the day, Sunday, is the holiday? So it's not necessarily clear at the first glance from the Mishnah how expansive that this prohibition is. So Tashma, the Gemara wants to marshal some proof. So we have a teaching of Rabbi Shmuel, and we already alluded to this at the first year, of the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, who thinks that not only is it prohibited to engage in commerce before the holiday, but also after the holiday. So Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Shlosha Lefneihem, V'Shlosha Achrayen, Aser. The 3 days before, and 3 days after, it's prohibited to engage in commerce. So the Gemara says, Yisaka Daitach, Hein Ve'idehem. If you're telling me that it's really, what, 2 days plus the holiday that are being included, Rabbi Shmuel, Yomidei and Chashavlu Mikara, V'Chashavlu L'Besof. that what's going to happen here is that according to Rabbi Shmuel's calculation, he's going to be counting the festival twice. Because looking at his teaching, well, if you think that that includes the holiday in the Shlosh Lefneihem, then also the Achrayim would also include. So therefore, you would in total be having 5 days of being prohibited, of commerce being prohibited, and not the actual six. So it sounds like it must be that it's Shlosha v'lo edehen, that it's 3 days. So again, going back to our example, it would be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, prohibited in commerce, and then the holiday is on Sunday, and according to Rabbi Shmuel, it would then be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So that would be the whole week, would be, all week would be prohibited to engage in commerce.
Not if you can't do commerce on the actual holiday.
Right, yeah. So I did the Tana, Shlosha lefneihem, Tana nami, Shlosha achrayim. The Gemara says no. It says it's, you could still make an argument that Rabbi Shmuel thinks it's only can really 2 days before, in this case, again, being Friday, Saturday, just that it's more of like a mnemonic that in, because he used the word shlosha in the first case, he used shlosha again in the second case. But there is no, again, in this case, no clear, unambiguous evidence from the statement of Rabbi Shmuel, one way or the other. So Gemara says, well, we have another proof. Tashma, damar rav tachlifa bar rav dimi amar Shmuel. The Talmud name Shmuel Yom. So here in your Gemara it says Yom Aleph. If you look at the note, it says Yom Notzri, meaning already at this point Sunday was associated with the Christians. And as they note here in here that Haholech B'Tavu, so those who go in the errors of that man Uto Ish Shetziva Lahem Lasos Lahem Yom Eid Be'Echa B'Shabbes, who commanded them to make their holiday on Sunday. So says they said the name of Shmuel L'Divrei Rabbi Yishmael La'Olam Aser. According to Rabbi Shmuel, would always be Aser. So now, according to that teaching, what must we be saying? If you're telling me, according to the argument, that it's Hein Ve'Dehen, meaning only Friday, Saturday, only 2 days before, and that includes then the third day is the holiday itself, well then there are days that are going to be permitted. Why? Because if you mean it's Hein Ve'Dehen, that means Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday are going to be prohibited. But what are going to be permitted? Wednesday, Thursday. So therefore, says the Gemara, must be that based on this brisa about the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, it must be it's hein veloe dehen, which would result in the entire week being prohibited to engage in commerce. So the Gemara says, lo kami bayili dehan veloe dehen. Fine. 100%, you're right. According to the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, who says it's 3 days before and it's 3 days after, I mean the whole week is prohibited, you have to say that the reference there is hein veloe dehen. That it's not just, it's not inclusive of the holiday, it's exclusive. So it's 3 full days and then the holiday. But what we want to know, we want to know what the halacha is, because Rabbi Shmuel is in the halacha. He come by Eli Eli b'der Rabbanan. We want to know, what do the Rabbanan hold? I mean, going back to our Mishnah, Bezim Aleph, where the Rabbanan say, lifnei dehen shol v'chacham shol shayamim, what are they referring to? Because again, you're right. It's clear. It's unambiguous. According to Rabbi Shmuel, it must be 3 full days before, not including the holiday. So now, Amar Ravina, Ravina taught Tashma, following the Heiluhein, a danger of the Kochavim, Klanda, Satonaya, Vakartasim. And so now, the Gemara is going to try to see from other examples of other pagan holidays, perhaps to give some insight into how many days are being prohibited here. So the Gemara later on Chesam Nav is going to give us some examples of these pagan holidays called Klanda, Saturnaya, and Kartasim. V'amar Rav Chanin bar Rava, Rav Chanin bar Rava taught, Klanda ches yomim achar tekufa, that the holiday of Klanda took place 8 days after the solstice. And Saturnaya, shmon yom lefnei tekufa, and Saturnaya was 8 days before the solstice. Now you'll be wondering, then shouldn't you should mention Saturnaya first, because Saturnaya is before the solstice, so if we're going like a linear progression of the year, so you'd first celebrate Saturnaya, and then which is 8 days before the solstice, then you would celebrate the holiday that comes after the solstice. So the Gemara, right?
Sure, okay.
So the Gemara says, well, we actually have a simen, a mnemonic device to remember that this association, again, the Gemara on Chesam Nalaf will talk about what those holidays represent. Achor v'kedem tzaratani. Achor, from my back and from my front, you hem me in. So Rashi says it's like a mnemonic device that to remember that the one that comes after the solstice, you mentioned we sort of pattern ourselves after that. Again, we'll have to see on Chesam and Aleph why it is that the Gemara actually formed this way to talk about different themes that those pagan holidays represented. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second. The focus here is going to be on the Ches Yomim. V'yisla g'dayta chen ve'edehem asarahavu. If it's the case that we're saying hein ve dehe, meaning that when we say three, it doesn't mean three, and then the holiday means two plus one, well, then we have a big issue. Because some holidays are one day, like the Yom Notri. But other holidays are 8 days, like Saturnalia and Klanda. So therefore, the Mishnah cannot be referring to all holidays, because then we have the 10-day holiday, we have the 3-day holiday, we have all these other ones. And therefore, it says the Gemara, therefore it must be that the fact that the Gemara has specified there's these 8-day holidays, that when the Mishnah says, it doesn't mean including the holiday, it means it's a separate time period, meaning it's going to be, in this case, a period of 3, which is then, you know, it's kind of like a function, right? You have f of x. So what's x? The holiday. What's the function in this case? The number 3. So therefore, x will always be whatever holiday it is. So whether it's, you know, it's Yom Notzri, it's Saturnalia, it's Klanda, that will always be the x. But the 3, the reference being here, is always going to be applicable to no matter what the holiday is, will be a period of 3 days leading up to that it's prohibited to engage in commerce. So the Gemara says, no, not necessarily a good proof. Again, it's about the textual reading here, because Tana kule klanda chad yom hu chashiv le. Because maybe, according to the Tana, yes, it's an 8-day holiday, but the Tana, when it was referring, when it was making the statement in our Mishnah, it conceived of it being just one big holiday. And therefore, the function still works according to that Tana. So now we've reached the end here of the Amoraic generation. So we've now got them to Rav Ashi. We've got all these different opinions trying to make sense of how we can bring different proofs from, again, a textual tradition to what exactly the Mishnah meant, what's including, what it's not including. Rav Ashi here gives us the bottom line answer. Tashma, look at our Mishnah. Before the holidays of the pagans, 3 days. So says Rav Ashi, I'll make you a textual argument. If it was really the case that the 3 days weren't 3 days plus the holiday, rather it was 2 days plus the holiday, then the way it should have been written is, a day in shal ovdi kochavim shoshiyamim. The holidays of the pagans are 3 days. V'chitema hai, so you might say to me, v'chitema hai den katani lifnei dehen, lemudil achre dehen. So you might say, well, the reason why we needed to say the use the word lifnei was to obviate the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael, who thinks it's not only prohibited before, it's prohibited afterwards. The Gemara says, no, listi eidam shel v'chavim gimel yom lifneihem. Still, I'll give you another textual argument. It should have said, if what you're saying is correct, that it includes, right, the holiday. It's 2 plus 1, not 3 plus 1. So it still should have said, eidam shel v'chavim gimel yom lifneihem. Meaning that would then put it all together with the focus being, the culmination being on the holiday itself. Therefore, it says Rav Ashi, at least from his perspective, that the Mishnah, the text itself implies, Shmamina, Hein Beloe Dehen, Shmamina. That the period of time is not 2 plus 1, 2 days, again, our example, Friday, Saturday, plus the Sunday of the holiday. Rather, it's 3 distinct days, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, before any type of holiday. So that's just a clarification that the Gemara is making of this reference here of the Mishnah, this 3-day period. Was it including the holiday, 2 plus 1, or was it not including the holiday, 3 plus 1? So now, and this is where we're going to end with today, what is the prohibition here? Ibayaluhu, so they ask, it's us, we says in our Mishnah, it's prohibited to engage in commerce. Why? Mishum harvacha, o dilma mishum lifnei iver lo titein mechshol. Is it because of harvacha? So what does harvacha mean? Harvacha means the harviach, to cause a profit. And what would that prohibition be? So Rashi tells us here, look at Rashi. Rashi, Dirhamaskal Mishum Harvacha, the Revach, the Azulum Modul of Rusuchavim. They'll have some sort of profit. And then because of this profitable encounter and exchange, they'll go and sort of praise their pagan lord because of this. And what's the prohibition? Why are we obligated to avoid that? So the Gemara says, Rashi says, V'avri Yisrael Mishum Lo Yishma Al Picha. That we have a prohibition that we should not be causing the discussion or the praising of foreign idols. Now the question is that Isur Doraisa? So for example, can I not, is there an Isur Doraisa to say the name, you know, Shiva or Vishnu or Jesus? So most of the Forshim think that this is actually an Isur Darabanan. There is an opinion that thinks it's Doraisa, but that would then make sense based on our conversations earlier of why Tosfos and Bezon Aleph could have the whole thing about Eva, because again, a rabbinic principle of Eva could neutralize a rabbinic issue of Lo Yishma Apicha. But what about the other issue the Gemara poses? Lifnei Iver. What's Lifnei Iver? So Rashi again tells us that the worry is that you're going to sell this pagan animal, and then they're going to offer and sacrifice that animal to their pagan idols. And the Bnei Noach are commanded that they can't do that. And not just they can't, but we have our responsibility towards our fellow Bnei Noach in that regard. Now, if that's the case, what does it sound like the Isser is here? Is it Deraisa or Derabanan? If it's Lifnei Iver. Deraita. So that's true, then how could Tosfos go ahead and justify the practice of their constituents of engaging in commerce with their pagan neighbors if it's a Deraisa? So one of the things, so we talked about Eva, but there's another opinion that's in other places in Tosfos that I think we'll see later that justifies and explains why that's the case. So there's a concept called Shituf. So Shituf, like the word Shutfut, means a partnership. I mean, if you actually look at the Christian theology, it's not that they worship Jesus alone, right? There's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's the Trinity. At least if you're a Trinitarian. If you're a Unitarian, it's a whole different discussion. If you're a Christian Science, it's a whole difference, right? But the Trinitarians, right? The Trinitarians are the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. So what they're saying is that they worship Jesus, also the God, the Father, who, so to speak, is the Mosaic, monotheistic God. So the question becomes, are Bnei Noach obligated or prohibited from worshiping God b'shituf? So majority opinion is that there's no problem. The Shachin Yehudea says that for a non-Jew, to worship God b'shituf is not avodah zarah. So therefore what that would mean is that the mechanism what Tosfos is then saying is that, yes, this Mishnah is true. And these pagans, it's true. But our pagans are not the same pagans as their pagans. Their pagans were 100% of the avodah zarah. Our pagans, they are Christians, they worship God, b'shituf. And therefore, this halacha was only applicable to those types of pagans, but not our pagans. So that you would have to say that if you think the lifting ever here is deraisa. The question is, what else could you say? So I've been using this as I'm going through and preparing the sefer Shiur Mitzvot B'Halacha. So he points out, is that, do you know with certainty that this person's going to offer this animal as a sacrifice to a pagan god? Do you know? You don't know. Now you might say to me, well, we have a concept in halacha called Safek Deraisa L'Chumra. That if it's a Deraisa principle, so even if I'm a Safek, right, it's 3 days before, it's Thursday before, the Mass on Sunday, I don't know, but it's a Deraisa, so I should be Machmer, I should be stringent. So that begs the whole question, which is hotly debated amongst many poskim, and Rishonim and Achronim, is there a concept of Safek Deraisa L'Chumra applicable to Lifnei Iver? Meaning that Lifnei Iver is a Deraisa principle, but is there such a thing as a Safek on Lifnei Iver? Or is it's only Lifnei Iver when you know Bivadai, when you know with certainty that this person's going to be stumbling through your actions? And so that perhaps that's a way you could sort of lower it, the bar, so that the actual issues are the same. Because seemingly, the first example, the Harvacha, is rabbinic. So it's a very strange Gemara. The Harvacha, it's a rabbinic prohibition. Lifnei Iver is Deraisa. That seems a bit, that's odd. When does the Gemara ever do that? They have to be on the same playing field. So perhaps by suggesting that when it comes to Lifnei Iver, when it comes to, there is no Suffolk Lifnei Iver, at least on a Deraisa level, so on a rabbinic level, there is. And therefore, the issues that are being posed in the Gemara of Harvacha versus Lifnei Iver are on the same level. So the Gemara wants to know, what's a nafkamina? You can't have a chakira without a nafkamina. So the Gemara says, l'may nafkamina, d'isle behem l'didei, that this person already has an animal, and now you're selling them another animal. If you're saying the problem is that by you engaging in the negotiations and them getting a great deal, it's going to cause them to profit and then praise their God, well, even if they already have an animal, it's applicable. However, if the issue is that you're going to be facilitating their sacrificing to their God, well, they already have their own animal. And so there's no assumption that the animal you're going to be selling them to them is going to be used in the sacrifice. So that is a nafkamina. So just to summarize what we talked about today is the question of what exactly is the meaning of Shloshi Yamim? Is it 2 + 1 or is it 3 + 1? We looked at very different ways in trying to prove the meaning of that statement. Finally, Rav Ashi said that the Mishnah is unambiguously in the direction that's 3 + 1, so it's 3 full days before any pagan holiday. But we got to the more practical question of what is the prohibition that really undergirds and really animates this whole conversation. Is it harvacha? They're going to be causing a profit for them. They're going to use that to then praise their God. And the issue there, Rashi says, is lo yishma al picha, or is the issue lifnei iver? And that we said is that really derisa? Is only derabana? We try to show how to level the field so that they're both the same issue. And with that, we'll be done for the day.